It's time. Amen. If you will, please. I think this is a bit loud. It's time. It's time for the glory of God to be revealed. It's time for His majesty to be present. It's time for you and I to reveal that glory in this world today. It's time for us to stand up and be counted. It's time for us to take that authority that God has given you and I to stand up and let the world know who Jesus is. Amen. I'd like you to turn with me to two scriptures this morning as we start. One of them is, I think we should actually put it up every day until we start seeking God, because it's time for us to seek His face. It's time for us to be the real Christians, the people of authority that God wants us to be. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, we should all know by heart. Read it with me. Shall we stand together and read it together? Because I believe we should call it as an anthem in our lives today as we prepare for the 19th of November when Angus Buchan gets together at that stadium. Because this is, I believe, the scripture that we need to start preparing ourselves with. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Amen. Amen. Folk, I believe it's time for us to get on our knees. It's time for us to humble ourselves. It's time for us to seek the face of God. It's time for us to pray to heaven that God will hear, that He will forgive our sins and will heal our land. The second scripture is found in Isaiah 55, verse 6 through 9. Verse 9 is my favorite scripture, but I'll get to that. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and the Lord will have mercy on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts, your thoughts. What an awesome scripture that is. It's time, folk, it's time for us to seek the Lord while He is to be found. And I might be preaching to the choir this morning or bringing a word to the choir, but you know what? I want to say this to you today. It's time for us to seek the Lord. Whether we're Christian or whether we're non-Christian, it's time for us to seek the Lord. It's time for the reign of God. It's time for your light to shine. It's time for the kingdom of God to be revealed. It's time for authority. It's time for majesty. I'm told that Napoleon's soldiers often used to sleep while they were on the march. They were moving forward, yet asleep and indifferent to everything around about them. Unfortunately, folk, as we look at the church in general today, there are thousands like them spiritually in this matter. They're indifferent. They're passing onward, quickly passing in the journey of life, yet indifferent to their need for relationship with Christ and to the call and the claims of God upon their lives. Folk, no sin can be more devastating to the church today or more deadly to the individual than indifference. You might say, but how does that affect me? How does indifference affect me today? And I ask a question. What exactly is indifference? Indifference is defined as the following. To be without interest or concern. Not caring. Apathetic. Disinterested. Neither good nor bad in character or quality. Average. Just doing things out of routine. And folk, I want to say this today. God charged Israel with the sin of indifference. Many times. Time and time again he spoke to them. Through his prophets. But it was like he was speaking to a stone wall. Because they were so indifferent to his word. Concerning Israel's failure to hear and seek God, he declared through his prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 45 verse 20. He sees many things but does not observe them. His eyes are open, but his ears are open, but he does not hear. Isaiah himself cried out about the cold indifference of Israel. In Isaiah 53 verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The reality is that we are all guilty of indifference to God. In fact, right now, I want us just to think about this for a moment. If I had to go around this auditorium here and say to you, what did you do last week? What was your main activity? Besides the students toying out the varsities or whatever, or tearing the varsities up. I'm only joking. Or the businessman that was so busy he didn't have time to sit before the Lord. You see, folk, I want to say this today. Us not sitting before God, being lax about our quiet times, is being indifferent. We get so busy with business or with the cares of the household or with our studies or with whatever it is that you're so busy that it starts stealing time from God. Folk, I want to tell you that is indifferent. Now can you say that you're not guilty of it? Where are your thoughts right now? I wish you'd keep quiet so that I can go home. There's a roast in the oven. Do you hear what I'm saying, folk? Hey? I'm trying to get real here, folk. I want us to understand that is indifference that God was talking about in the Israelite people. The Israelites were the chosen nation. They weren't the frozen chosen. Yes, they were the chosen ones. We're the frozen chosen because we said, yeah. Pastor calls for workers. Calls a second time, a third time, a fourth time. Nothing happens. Then she starts saying, you will do this. That's indifference, folk. When God calls you, you might think, not another job in the church. When am I going to have time? That's indifference. You see, folk, we all go out like sheep. We've gone astray. We've lost the passion. We've lost the energy that we want, that we need to serve God. Something happens. We go through dark times and we wonder, Lord, what's going on? Yes, I've been through it. I've preached about it. I'm not going to preach about it again. Do you know what, folk? God gives us word. Because the heavens are higher than the earth. So my way is higher than your ways. My thoughts and your thoughts. And folk, I want us to take that today and begin to realize exactly what God's saying to us. You see, it's our thoughts that destroy us, that make us indifferent, that make us not to walk in righteousness. And that's a sin of indifference in our lives. And all of us, whether I've mentioned it today, it might be something else. It doesn't matter. But what really matters is the fact that indifference destroys your relationship with the living God. It destroys you as a person. We read here in Matthew 22 the story of the wedding feast, where the king, who is God, invites individuals to the wedding of his son. And folk, I believe the day of the wedding of Jesus Christ to the church is coming soon. Are you ready? It's time to get ready. I'm not talking about this tonight. Today is something that's going to be easy to swallow for myself. Because I know, I said to Pastor Keith this morning, I said, man, did I have a terrible time this week. Not only starting a business, that's nothing. God's in charge of that. But you know what? I want to start preparing. On Monday I start, and then I'm just get into the word, and something else comes, or somebody phones, or then you've lost. You try again, and you try again. Eventually, by Friday night, oh, damn it. Okay. But folk, it's that which takes you away. Here are the people in Matthew 22, verse... Come on. Verse 5, we read, they made light, were not concerned, ignored, paid no attention of it. And they went their ways, one to his own farm and another to his own business. And I looked at this, Lord, and I said, Lord Jesus, is this what this business is doing right now? And Keith pointed out, he said, no, it's the evil one trying to take your concentration away from what you're supposed to be doing today. And folk, today is supposed to be the high season. They fasted the whole month or whatever. But we bind it up in Jesus' name. They're not going to, because it's our time to move forward that the kingdom of God might grow. They were too busy doing their own thing. Busy with work, busy with family, busy with things of their own world. And too busy for God. And I believe that's a warning for all of us, folk. When we become too busy, that we cannot passionately arrive here at 7:30 or at 8:00 in the morning to go into the prayer room to begin to pray for the services, we've already lost the plot. Because we're too busy on Saturday night that we get to bed at 1:00, 2:00 in the morning from that jaw. Hey, students? Listen, I was also a youngster. I know all about it. You don't have to deny it, yeah. And so is Pastor Keith. I know him very well. Okay. Folk, all I'm trying to say is, let's get that passion back. That passion to be found in the house of God. That passion where we can, nobody's going to stop you from sharing the word of God. Hey, where people, a person walks past and you're going to say to them, man, you know what? Jesus loves you. Can I pray for you? When is that going to happen to us? That's the passion. When people first came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, when I was born again. Okay? I'm not going to tell you when that was. There was a time in your life where you just couldn't keep quiet. What happened? Pastor Michael? What happened? We became indifferent. We became so busy with the things that we forgot about the things of God. We were busy with the things of God that we forgot about God. You see, folk, that's the danger of indifference. When it comes to the things of God, the will of God, the call of God, the demands of God, and the worship of God, we are guilty of the sin of indifference. Sometimes we're just so busy, we've got to have a quiet time. Lord, I've got 15 minutes. Does God really deserve only 15 minutes of your time? Are we seeking the will of God for our lives? You know, that if I heard that I'd been retrenched, man, it's not a pleasant story. But I knew in my heart of hearts that it was going to happen because God had spoken to me. When it came about, I just knew it. And God gave me a peace. But with that peace, He had given me several scriptures. One of them was Isaiah 55. The next one was Jeremiah 29:11, which says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans not to harm you, but plans to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. Okay? Then he takes me to Psalm 23. I said, Lord, I know. He says, yeah, do you really know it? He says, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because my rod and staff are with you. He says, you know what else? He says, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemy. And my cup overflows. On that table is everything that we have need of. We don't have to run around. God's supplying our needs. Do you see the birds of the air worried about this drought? I don't. Because they know the God who created them is able to supply everything that they have need of. Folk, I want to tell you this morning, God has everything that you have need of. How about turning your thoughts and your ways to let them be His thoughts and His ways? In other words, change your mindset, brothers and sisters. There are days that I sat in the chair and I thought, man, if I get hold of that man, I'm going to skin him alive. Then I had to say, no, that's not God's ways. Those thought patterns are not God's thought patterns. When somebody breaks into your house and takes this and takes that, what are your thoughts? They're murderous. That's not God's pattern. Folk, we need to change our thoughts. Because it's there that we become indifferent. That's the start of our indifference. It's there that we begin to live this indifferent life. That God eventually says in Revelation that He'll spew us out of His mouth. He'll spit us out because He knows our work. We're neither hot nor cold. And folks, the only way to become hot or cold is to change our thought patterns. And when those thought patterns came to my mind, what did I do? I had to say, no, Lord, wait. Lord, my thoughts have to be your thoughts. What are your thoughts on this matter? Well, God's thoughts are love them. Love them. And it becomes difficult. When they've hurt you deeply, when you've done everything you can, and then they kick you. Not softly. It's not the right boot to fellowship into fellowship, it's out of fellowship. So it's harder than normal. Folk, I want to say this to you today. Our thoughts aren't the open sin that destroys us. It's our thoughts that make us walk in unrighteousness. It's those thoughts that destroy the very things that God wants. You know, what do they say in Afrikaans? It's klein jakkalsie wat die vinnout verwoes. It's the small jackals that destroy the vineyard. Or the small fish that destroy the net. Folk, indifference can start with something small, just as a thought. Because Shirley trod on my favorite corn, I'm going to have it out with her. That's not God's pattern. God's pattern is to love her, imitate her, and forgive her. See, the danger of living a life of indifference. Sorry. Israel discovered that being indifferent to the Lord and the things of God is a dangerous position to be in. In ignoring God, you profane, by profaning his Sabbath. What's that mean? Oh, you can go to the shop now. We'll go shopping rather than come to church. That's profaning the Sabbath. The Word of God tells me that we must not forsake the gathering of the people, and so is someone in the habit of doing. And folk, why is that? Because God wants us to draw together to hear from Him so that we don't become indifferent, so that we don't walk in unrighteousness, but that we walk in the righteousness of God. Living lives of apathy. What's happening in South Africa? Why do we have to go and humble ourselves and pray and ask God to forgive us for our sins and seek His face? Because we're living lives of, we're so apathetic, we just don't care. We don't care. Driving along the road the other day, my favorite pet hate subject. Seeing how people drive. I'm not saying that I'm the world's best driver, but I don't think I'm the world's worst driver either. But the way people cross lanes and just cut you off to get in front so that they can be first in the line. Folk, that's a sign of the times. They don't care if they're going to bump your car. They don't care about you as an individual. Folk, I'm being serious here. Think about it. If we were caring for one another, we'd have good manners. On the road, in our homes, in our workplace. The men just don't care in the workplace. They use language that will make a sailor blush. And their lady's present. And you think, oh, Lord have mercy. And then the lady opens her mouth and it's worse than the men. Is he folk ignoring God? It's not a good thing. Because Israel ignored God, God brought about a conquest and the years of captivity because of it. God will not be ignored, folk. His character, His attributes will not allow it. In Hebrews 10:31 it says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." In Isaiah 42:8, "I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will not be given to another." As a result of indifference, many have the misconception of the nature of God. Pastor Robert Bengonza has said that indifferent Christians perceive God as lukewarm and don't believe He will reward them for their diligence or punish them for their slackness. That's what indifference does. It takes you to the point where you just don't care anymore. Ugh, you know what? If I sin, God's not going to do anything. How wrong can we be? And folk, it's creeping into the church. How can I say that? Why haven't we stood up against homosexuality? Why haven't we stood up against corruption, abortion, and all this other rubbish that's coming into this country as it was maybe before? We stand back and we say, carry on through. Let's just accept it. We allow the education department to tell us that we cannot have church services in the school. The children don't need to be taught Christianity in the schools. Carry on by. Go ahead and do it. Where are we? Where's Vaselsmach? Where's our strength? Where's our authority? It's time, folk, for us to stand up. It's time for us to take that authority. And that's why I say it's a call. God is calling to you and I to seek Him while there is time. While there's still time. Man, when the trumpet sounds, there's no time anymore. There's no time. I heard the story the other day of a man who encountered trouble while flying his small private airplane. He called the control tower and said, "Pilot tower, I'm 300 miles from the airport. 600 feet above the ground. I'm out of fuel, losing altitude, and descending rapidly. Please advise." I know. Tower to pilot. The dispatcher began. "Repeat after me. Our Father, who art in heaven, folk, we cannot wait until the last minute. Now is the time to seek God. It's no use waiting until some disaster happens and then suddenly wake up and say, oh, you know, when I was in Sunday school, Janet actually taught me about this God that we can pray to. Maybe I should turn to Him and start praying." That's too late, folk. You should have been praying before the disaster happened. Before I was retrenched, I was seeking God's face and saying, "Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do?" I said, "Father God, either you want me to retire, and at the moment I don't see the finances ready to do that. I'm not even old enough to do that. I'm only 42. Oh, in the shade. I said, "But what about a job?" And there was no answer. I said, "What about a new business?" And there was a silence. You know what's happened, folk? I actually found that piece of paper as I was, Shirley got me to rearrange my office the other day. I'd written it down on paper. Either a new business, employment, opening a training center, or retirement. And what has God done? He said, "David, you're too young. I know you're fat and everything else, but you're still too young to retire." In fact, God is doing things at an astronomical pace. He's making things happen because I said, "Father, not my ways, not my will, not my thoughts. But Father God, I seek you that I will know your will and your ways for everything in this matter." And folk, I believe that as I begin to do that, as we begin to do that, we're not calling out at the last moment, "Lord, save me, Lord, help me." Folk, we need to be prepared. We can't be as the 10, 5 wise or foolish virgins. The foolish virgins didn't have enough oil in their lamps. Have you got enough oil in your lamp to help you through when God is not able to be found? And folk, it's time for us to realize that it's time for us to seek God while He can still be found. In Psalm 103, verse 9, "He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever." Seek Him while you can. Someone has said, "Never put off until tomorrow what you can do today. If you don't know whether or not you'll be able to do it tomorrow." I heard a story, I told and I've used it before, of a man who really loved the Lord. And he had a friend that he loved very much. And he went to this friend. He said to this man, "You know what, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior." The man said, "Ach man, there's plenty of time, not now. Don't bore me with that. Come back another day." And each year on the man's anniversary of his birthday, he would go to him and say, you know, you need to seek Jesus. You need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the one day he went to visit this friend, and the man was dying. In fact, he had summoned this friend of his, this Christian friend. And this Christian friend said to him, my brother, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the man turned to him and he said, that which I was not able to do or refused to do while I was still healthy and well, I can't do when I'm lying on my deathbed. And he died a Christless eternity. And folk, I'm trying to say to you today, that's indifference. We cannot afford to have it in our lives. We need to seek God right now for this country before it becomes a place that is unlivable, ungovernable, because God is not present. We need God back in our schools. We need God back in the Constitution. We need God back in government. We need God in our churches where homosexuality is known to be a sin. Let's love them back into the kingdom of God that God can turn them around and change their lives. You see, folk, I believe that there are conditions for having a relationship with God. One of them is repentance. We need to repent of our evil ways. Repentance is not just, oh Lord, forgive me. That's part of confession. That's part of the repentance. But it's a volitional, it's a willful changing, wanting to change your ways. I want to change my ways. I want to put that sin behind me. And I want to move on to where God wants me to be. And folk, we need to be there. It's part of seeking God. He said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, what did he say? Turn from your wicked ways. Confess your sin. Repent of your sin. Then humble yourselves and get on your knees and pray and he'll hear from heaven and heal our land. And folk, we need to begin to do that in our lives. It's time. Now is the time. Today is the first time, first moment. This moment is the first moment of the rest of your life. It's time to seek God right now. It's time to turn away from sin. It's time to do what God has called you to do. Maybe I'm being naughty right now. Pastor Keith, what jobs do you have in the church that still have to be filled? You see, folk, that would be your altar call. How prepared are you to step out and do what God has asked us to do today? That's making the difference. That's what makes the difference between a person who's sold out for Jesus and a person who's sitting on the fence, who's lukewarm that God wants to spit out of his mouth. You're either cold, you want nothing to do, or you're lukewarm, or you're hot. If you're hot, you're hot for Jesus. Eh? And you're on the spot. You will do it. If you're cold, but lukewarm, God doesn't want anything to do with you. Let's make ourselves hot for Jesus today. Let's turn to Him and say, Father, I don't want to be indifferent anymore. Father, I want to do what You have called me. Father, help me to take control of my thoughts. Help me to seek You. Help me to seek Your face that my relationship with You would be on track. See, folk, I might be preaching this, but you know what? My toes have been flattened. Okay, that's why I'm limping today. No, I lie. Surely you have fed me rich food, so I've got gout. But folk, I believe that's what God wants. Let's honor God today. If you feel that you've been indifferent and there's something that you need to confess and that is something that you need to repent, or you just really need Jesus in your life today, I want you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up or people close your eyes. I want you to come forward. I believe that we need to pray for those people. And I think all of us need to come and stand in front today. Say, Father, forgive me for my indifference. Help me to be that when Pastor Keith says we need somebody to do the cooking's done. Eh? Or we need somebody for the, I almost said the blackboard, for that computer over there. It's done. Fuck, let's do that, please. You know what? I don't have to beg you. It's time. It is time for us to put the things of this world aside and to pick up that which God has given us and to take hold of it and begin to move and do what God wants us to do. Let us pray. And as I pray, I'd like to ask, come, Funk, come. I'm standing here. Standing here. Because I know there's many areas that I need to seek God for. And I'm sure there are many areas in your life. When we start seeking God, He heals our land. You without employment, start seeking God today. Get rid of that indifference, that apathy. Get rid of it. Start caring. Start doing the things that God wants you. Doing God's ways. Thinking God's thoughts. No, He will answer you. Father, today as we just bow before You, we want to honor You, Lord Jesus. And folk, Lord Jesus, as the folk come forward, Holy Spirit, I pray Your hand upon them. I pray that they will know that they know that they know there is a call on their lives. Each one of us here, we're not here by accident today. We're here because You have brought us here, Father God. Help us, I pray, that we might stand up and begin to do that which You have called us to do. I ask it today in Jesus' name. Amen.